Thank you, and good morning, church. Morning, and welcome to our morning service, all about joy in Monday mornings. I know, right? To start us off, we've got a couple of notices. Linda, can I come to you first?
Sorry, I just asked Danny if I could say that I know a lot of people have been praying for my family and my mum in particular. And this week, although social workers told me 2 weeks ago, absolutely not, she would not be staying at the care home that she's currently in, we got an email this week to say she's absolutely staying at the care home she's in. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. We love when God follows through on his word. He works for our good. Other notices that I have, we've got men's fellowship coming up for the 1st of March in Sevenoaks. Please do, men of the church, go to that. We've also got the women's conference. We still have 47, as of yesterday, tickets left. We're getting very close to full capacity. So please, if you haven't booked your tickets yet, please do. We also have a testimony evening tonight. It will be awesome to share your stories of faith and also hear others, encourage others. If there's anything else that I've missed, it'll be on our weekly sheet here. If you haven't got one, please do have a look at what's coming up in the week. Any prayer points and everything like that, it's all in here. Let's pray. Dear God, it can be difficult to find joy in maybe rainy days or times that are difficult, or even just a Monday morning where you're feeling unready to be doing anything at all. We pray that today we find ways to find joy, to find strength in you. Amen. Thank you. So Nathan's preaching on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 15. And as I was looking at those verses and thinking on the title of today, it really speaks on being connected as a church family, working hard, and it warns us against idleness and seeming busy, and this idea of finding joy in times that are maybe hard. So that's what all the songs sort of come from for this week. It also reminded me of Psalm 118. In the psalm, could we pull it up, please? In the psalm, David begins by giving praise to God. He's just won a battle, and this is how it starts. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Next one, please. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. I think there's one more. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Thank you. And those really, that's where I found in that verse, that's my source of joy, trusting in God. That's what, as I've been going through the week, it's been a little bit hard just getting through some of the days, but really trusting in him that he will lead me through to the right place. And then in verse 21 to 24, this is where some of the songs come from. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stones the builders rejected has become this cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And this is a verse. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. So not only has God done something, but we are now actively celebrating it. We are rejoicing. So in our worship today, we are going to be rejoicing. We're going to be celebrating. The first song that we'll sing. Come people of the risen King who delights to bring him praise. Please stand and sing with us.
is of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all.
Couple of songs that we're singing, really not only celebrating God but also welcoming him here. Build your kingdom here, come set your rule and reign, and also this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Please join us. Sorry, monkey. Again.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please do take your seats. I've got next. So now is the time in the service that I will be asking our children and young people, has anybody had a birthday either in the previous week? Oh, we have one. If you're going to come down. I'm on a roll, guys. Any adults, well, in the previous week or in the week to come, have any adults had a birthday that we know of? Yeah, no, that's wonderful. We'll just wait for Fair to come. Come on down. Brilliant. And could you tell the church what your name is? Farah. And how old are you, Farah? 12. Farah is 12, everybody. When was your birthday? It was on Thursday. Wonderful. Happy birthday, Farah. Would you like to pick something from the box? And while you do, we'll sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Farah. Brilliant. We're going to sing one more song before the children go out. And it's a song that we sang at the beginning. We sort of gave you an introduction, and now it's your turn. This song is, yeah, again, it's talking, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's based on Nehemiah chapter 8, and really that whole, the whole book is about Israel's struggle, but finding God in that. And so that's why I love this song. Linda says it's her favorite. I've really done something here. So I hope you please stand, sit, however you would like to, and join us in this song.
My lungs, I will pray.
Children, we're just going to pray for you before you leave.
Let us pray. Mighty God, we just thank you for the children in this church. We thank you for what you want them to learn today, what you want to empower them with as they go out into the week ahead, into their schools, their colleges, and other places that occupy their time. We pray that in every place, Lord, what they learn today, you will keep in their remembrance, and they will be attentive to your word through the week. And Lord, we pray for the Sunday school teachers who have so many unusual questions to answer, that Lord, by your Spirit, you will give them the wisdom to answer aright and to lead these children in the right way. And in all that they do, O Lord God, may they know you personally as an individual God who loves them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children, you may go to your groups. Is this on?
Yes.
Is it? No. Oh, really? I know you can hear me. I think most of the children have gone. We can do business with God now. We are going to pray. And Danny's asked me to lead us. We're going to have a refrain. I don't think we've done this for quite a while. But a few churches that I've attended before, there would be like a call and a response. And I have asked for this to be put up on JJ. Do you know about my refrain and what to put up right now? Just in case people forget, it's quite easy. I will say at the end of each little prayer bit, Lord, in your mercy, and you will respond, hear my prayer. Okay? So there's going to be a time for you to pray some personal things. I'll leave space in the prayers. I will say at the end of it, Lord, in your mercy, and you will say, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Okay, so let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are your people. We declare ourselves Christian and we are called by your name. We have come to humble ourselves before you and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways, that you might hear us from heaven, and you will forgive our sins, and you will heal our land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, this land is so desolate. There are so many problems. Nationally, oh God, this country faces a time when they are stopping prayers during assemblies. They're stopping Christian assemblies being gathered. It is a parliamentary act. It is a rule of the land that schools cannot have assemblies that are focused on one religion or the other. The laws of this land go against the grain of the Bible. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we live in a land where there is so much to heal, so much that needs to be fixed, and we cannot see solutions when the leaders don't seem to make sense. When people don't seem to be relying on you for the wisdom they need. Lord, we live in a land where we just shake our head in despair, knowing things have been better, things could be better. But we look to you, O God, the one who can make it better. And we humble ourselves. And we turn from our wicked ways. And we say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We've sung most of the prayer points I had. Lord, build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Build your kingdom at 36 Saxon Shore. Lord, build your kingdom in Kudakwashe Oshoba. Build your kingdom here. Let this body, Lord, be your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. And through this kingdom, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, in your mercy, we are the hope on earth. We've just sung it. We are the hope on earth. Not in and of ourselves, O God, but by your Holy Spirit. Do the work in me. Do the work in us. Show us how to heal this land. Show us how to influence this community. Show us how to make a difference in ourselves and in others. We are the light of the world. Shine in us, shine through us. Heal our streets and land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Win this nation back. Do it through me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wherever I am, whatever I am doing. Holy Spirit, come and work in me. Come and do me. Come and use me. Mold me. Change me. Form me to be the one that wins this nation back. One person, Jesus Christ, did it. And he gave the power to all of us so that now we are a church united. We are the hope on earth. Send me to work. Send me to my home. Send me to my children. Send me to strangers. Send me to Asda. Send me, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we need a body to do that. We need a body that is healthy. We need a body, a mind that is focused on you. I need to be fed. I need to be rested. I need to look after myself to be able to do this work. I cannot do it in and of myself. I need my brothers and my sisters. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray so that you can heal this land, so that you can make a change, you can make a difference. It will not change. Political powers will not change. The laws of this land will not change if the church falls asleep and does not pray. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Help me to seek your face this week, Lord. Help me to seek your face every day. Help me to turn from my wicked ways. Help me to do my bit, not to wait on who's doing what everywhere else. Help me to do what I can. Help me to hear you from heaven, Lord. Let me not worry about everything else. Let me not spend so much time on Facebook, scrolling up and looking at shorts and all sorts of things, Lord. Help me to hear from heaven. That you may forgive our sins and that you may heal this land. As you heal the bodies of those that need it, as you heal the mind of those that need it, as you provide the resources that are needed, help us to use those to heal this land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Almighty God, for your word. Thank you for your great word. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for providing for us. And thank you for going before us. And thank you for knowing what we need to do and giving us the power to do it. Psalm 125, my memory verse for this year says, those who trust in the Lord, and I am one of those, are like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds Kudakwashe Oshoba. Both now and forevermore, both here in Sittingbourne and in Margate where I work, and in London that I often go, and in every place that I am, and with every person that I see. The Lord surrounds me as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, both now and forevermore. I pray that is your testimony. I pray that is what God puts in you so that you can go out there and be the one who heals this land. He can only do it through you, and he can only do it through me. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Philip. We have one song that I had no idea what she was going to say, but it really... But it's amazing how God brings these things together. This song that we're going to sing is Bind Us Together. Bind us together with love. And in the verses, it really does go through those things. There's only one God, and we're made for the glory of him. And we are the family of God. We are together in him. Please stand or sit as you would, as you feel, and join us in this song.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us today. We thank you for worship and praise that we've been able to offer to you from our hearts, giving you thanks for who you are and for all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And now, Lord, as we come to hear from you, to feast at your table, we thank you that you are in the midst now to speak to our hearts, to minister to our varied needs, because, Lord, we need to hear from you now. So would you anoint me afresh as your servant? Anoint me as the Apostle Paul prayed for boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known the mystery of your gospel. Would you anoint me afresh now as your servant? And when it's all said and done, as we leave this place, we pray, Lord, that we will leave knowing more about you and giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Please do take your seats. Thank you so much, Danny and the worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Good to see you all on this rainy, cold, miserable day. But it's still the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And I love the songs that that Danny has selected for us today. Beautiful songs, reminding us that regardless of the weather, regardless of our circumstances, God is still good. And he gives us joy, not just on Sunday, but also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God gives us his joy. Amen. Well, we've come now to the end of our sermon series, and I pray that you've been challenged and blessed and encouraged as we've been looking at life's priorities, the priorities in life. And for those of you who have been around for the past several weeks, I want us just to jog our memories back to the first and the premier priority in life. What is the number one?
God.
God. Good. What is the second priority?
Family.
Family. Good. What is the third priority?
Church.
The church. Oh, this is filling me with you guys. Amen. So we've come to the final one. Of course, we were hanging out on priority number three, the church, for the past couple of weeks. But now we're coming to the conclusion and we're looking at work, our work, priority of our work. Of course, work is very important in our lives. And even for those of you here today who are retired, we celebrate you because you've been working hard over the years. And now you've come to that moment where you can retire and just enjoy yourselves. But as you know, still got to do some work, right? But we thank God that we're a church with different generations. Of course, there's many of you who are here who are still working, but there are many who are retired as well. And we just thank God for that. But we're going to look at the priority of work. And I'm going to call your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And a very intriguing passage of scripture here from Paul in his letter to the church, the Thessalonian church, which is located in what is now the modern day Macedonian region of Greece. A church was established there, one of Paul's missionary journeys. And he wants to commend the church, but also encourage the church, because he received some reports about some of the Christians in the church that had quit working. They had quit their jobs. And the reason why they quit their jobs is because they felt that the Lord's return was imminent. So they felt that there was no more need to work a secular job because Jesus was coming back at any moment. So they felt, forget work, let's just wait for Jesus to return. And we're going to see what Paul had to say about that. So we're going to look at verse number 6 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command." Now, "we" here is referring to Paul himself, but also Timothy and Silas, a group of Paul's companions in the ministry, saying, "We give you this command, church, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives." Idle lives. "And don't follow the tradition they received from us." From us. And in verse 7 says this, "For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle. We were not lazy when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we could not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Don't think of them, though, as enemies, but warn them as you would a brother or a sister. And then in verse 16, Paul says this, "And now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all." I want to look at just a few verses again, but this time from Eugene Peterson's Message rendering of the Bible. And it reads like this from verse number 10. "Don't you remember the rule we had when we lived with you? If you don't work, you don't eat. And now we're getting reports that a bunch of lazy good-for-nothings are taking advantage of you. This must not be tolerated. We command them to get to work immediately. No excuses, no arguments, and earn their own keep." I want to speak today from this thought, finding joy in Monday mornings. Can we say that together? Finding joy in Monday mornings. Friends, it's amazing to me how sometimes people can belittle the Holy Bible and look down on the Holy Bible and say things like the Bible is just an outdated, irrelevant, and antiquated book that bears no significance or relevance for modern day life here in the 21st century. How many of you have heard that before? Yet when you take the time to study and peruse the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, you will soon discover, church, that in the words of King Solomon himself, that there's really nothing new under the sun. And especially when it comes to our topic this morning, work, priority number 4 in our lives. Work, we see from the very beginning of Scripture in the book of Genesis, that even God himself in creation went to work. And on the 7th day, after going to work to create the heavens and the earth, what did he do? He rested from his labor. So even God demonstrated that desire for work. And even Jesus, God's Son, God in flesh, when he came to earth, he said these words in John chapter 9. He said this, "I must work the works of him who sent me." And then he goes on to say, "For the night is coming where no man or woman can work." Because even Jesus understood the reality of work. Jesus was busy doing his Father's business in the ministry on earth, but he also was a carpenter. Jesus was interested in work. And we see throughout the Scripture, there are many examples of humanity at work. Humanity putting their hands to the plow, busy at work, to provide sustenance and support for themselves, but also for their families. And we even see the first human, Adam. When Adam was created by God from the very dust of the ground, he was set in the garden and God made him the chief operating officer, if you will, of the garden. To name the animals, to look after and maintain the garden, to keep it in order and to work. So work, church, has always been an important priority for God and for his people. From the very beginning of time, God has ordained a pattern for us to follow, that we are called not to be idle on the earth, just to waste time and to be lazy, but God has called us to be productive. In simple terms, we have to get to work. But the question that I hear ringing loud and clear, perhaps in the corners of our minds, is simply this. What happens when we don't enjoy our work? What happens when we don't find any pleasure or fulfillment in our day-to-day work? Perhaps there's someone here today, church, who is trying to enjoy this service, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh no, Monday is tomorrow, and I've got to get back to work. The weekend is coming to an end, and I've got to get up early in the morning, and I've got to get back. I hear some witnesses in the house. Time to get back to work. And if you feel that way, I want to encourage you. If you feel that way, you are not alone. Because I looked at some statistics during the week, and according to the Office for National Statistics in our country, only a mere 17% of British workers, 17% church, love their job. 17%. Which means that well over half of the population who are at work currently, over half do not enjoy going to work. And they class themselves as being unhappy with their job role. Think about that, church. That's alarming. 74.8% of the population between the ages of 16 and 64 are in some form of employment currently. 74.8%. Well over half of the population are busy at work, but only 17% actually enjoy what they are doing. Isn't that alarming? Which means, church, that many will go to sleep this evening dreading of Monday morning, dreading of having to wake up and go to work tomorrow. And the only reason why many do not hit the snooze button tomorrow or on Tuesday or on Wednesday is simply put that if we do not go to work, then we don't get paid. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling to find joy in Monday mornings or struggling to find joy with going to work, allow me this morning through God's word just to offer a fresh perspective of work, if you will. Allow me this morning through God's help to offer a different perspective of work so that we don't just dread Monday mornings or Tuesday or Wednesday, but that we can at least find some sense of joy in the work that we do. Because I believe that it's not the will of God for his people just to live in misery for 5 or 6 days of the week and then just to have some reprieve on the weekend. But I believe that God wants us to be people of purpose. That every day we can find some sense of fulfillment, some sense of purpose, and yes, some sense of joy in what we do. So here it is. Number one. Here's the first one I want to leave you. If we're going to try and find some joy in Monday mornings, I believe we need to observe this from the text. Number one, here it is. That if we're going to find joy, we have to understand that too much time on our hands is not always a good thing. Can we say that together? Too much time on our hands is not always a good thing. Sometimes we say things like, man, imagine if we didn't have to go to work. How different would life be? Get up when you want, do what you want, eat when you want, don't have to worry about lunch break, racing back for the time that you have to get back to work. But you can just do as you please. Go where you want and do what your heart desires. I'm sure many of us have thought that before. What would life be like if we didn't have to work? if we had enough resources and we had enough money in the bank, that we didn't have to go and work a job. Go wherever you want. Holidays, you name it. Have the easy life. But if we just rewind back to the days of Paul in the Thessalonian church, there were some that felt exactly like that. But their purpose to stop working was simply that they felt that Jesus Christ was about to make his return. So they felt that, you know what, since he's coming back, there's no point doing any work anymore. Because any day he's going to come back for his church. So they quit their jobs and they just sat down and they began to wait. And the scripture lets us know that what happened for the church there in the Macedonian region of Greece is that because of their idleness, they began to gossip and to meddle in the affairs of other people. There's the old saying my mom used to tell me when I was young, the devil makes work for idle hands. They had too much time now on their hands. And because they had nothing to do, sometimes having nothing to do can lead to us getting into all kinds of trouble. I'll never forget when I was a kid going to school, and a year above me was a young man, and I won't name his name because he's actually known, unfortunately, in the world today for the wrong reasons. But someone I knew and lived in my area and would get on my school bus. And he was a troubled kid, and unfortunately he was kicked out of school around about year 9. I was in year 8, he was in year 9, and he was kicked out and expelled from school. And as a result, you know, he was no longer going to school, and I believe he was supposed to go to one of those specialized schools for those who are kicked out, but he never really attended, and you would see him after school just running around the streets up to no good. And unfortunately, on one occasion, on one evening, he committed murder and killed another young man in Southeast London in Catford, and went to prison for about 15 and a half years. He came out, and after spending time in prison, I looked and read online that he went back to prison because he'd done a music video and began to rap lyrics about what he'd done in the murder, and went back to prison. He's now back in prison. But when I think about him, my mind just goes back that how the enemy can even use idleness. A young man that had potential. A young man that if he put his mind to focus in school, his life, the trajectory of his life could have looked a whole lot different. But because he had so much time on his hands, the enemy gave him work to do. I know, don't we see it even on a daily basis on our news today? Young people stabbing each other. As young as 12, going to school, what's supposed to learn, parents sending their children off to get an education. Can you imagine getting a phone call from the school to say, your son, your daughter has been stabbed? What? But this is happening in our country, in the 21st century. It's such a shame. Because when we live our lives without purpose, when we live our lives without something to aim for or to hope for, then we're just walking around aimlessly, without any direction or purpose. And I want to encourage us today that even if you don't like your job, even if you despise some of the aspects of your job, I believe that we have grounds to give God thanks for the work that we have, because at least we have something to hope for and to live for through our work. Amen. At least we have some sense of purpose, some sense of cause to get up in the morning and to be busy and to do something productive in this life. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to find some sense of joy in the work that we do. And that's exactly what Paul wanted the church to know Don't just do nothing, sit back waiting, being idle. But get to work. Yes, Jesus is coming back, but you don't have to quit working and waiting for him to come back. But while you're waiting for him to come back, be productive. Get to work. Because even when you read certain passages in the Bible where Jesus talks about the last day and the end of the times, even one of the passages Jesus makes reference that when the last day will come, there'll be two in the field. One will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and then the other will remain. Why? Because even in the end of times, there'll be people at work. People busy doing things, putting their hands to the plow. God wants to find us busy doing things. Amen? So too much time on our hands is not always a good thing. I remember even summer holidays when I was in school, and my mum, she was very insistent that yes, you have 6 weeks off, but what's the plan? You can't just sit around there in Catford with nothing to do. Absolutely not. She mapped it out. Week one, week two, week three, you're doing this, week four, five. Oh, I just want to just chill. I want to, no. What's the plan? So important, structure in life. Amen. So that we don't just become busybodies and up to no good. Let us be busy and find work and find joy in our work. But number two, here's the second one. Work is not just practical, but it's also pleasing to God. Hallelujah. So even through our practical and what we like to call, and so, I don't really like it, but I don't understand what we mean. We say secular work, secular. We say secular, it means that we put a line of demarcation between spiritual work and secular work. I really don't like that, because even if we're working a secular job, God can use us spiritually even through secular work. Do we believe that? There are some great testimonies and examples of God using us even in secular work for his glory. So work is not just practical, but it's pleasing to God. Now, if you're struggling to find satisfaction in your work, can I encourage us this morning to observe a lesson from the moon? Can we say the moon? Because every day, the moon in creation gets to work. Now, sometimes you may miss what the moon is up to. But the moon is busy each day at work. Because every day, the moon is busy doing one job. And that is to reflect the light comes from where? The sun. We're going to get this. So the moon's job is to reflect the light, because the moon does not have any light within itself. It has to reflect the light of the sun. Well, in like manner, church, we may find our work laborious. We may find our work boring and challenging at times, but through our work, we are able to reflect the light, not of the S-U-N, but of the S-O-N. Every day that we go to work, our job is not just to please our boss, not just to please those in authority over us, but our job is to be pleasing in the eyes of the S-O-N. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we're not just working to receive a physical paycheck, but we're working to be pleasing in the eyes of Jesus, who is the head of our lives. So maybe there's an occasion this week at work where in our flesh we want to cuss the boss out. Come on, let's tell the truth, shame the devil. But even if your boss is getting on your nerves, our job is to reflect the light of the S O-N. Amen. To show even in the workplace that we don't belong to this world. Amen. That this world is not our home. So we're not going to retaliate or respond like the world, although we may want to in our flesh. But we hold our peace because we understand that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and not ours. So our job is to reflect the light of the sun. And that's it, exactly what Paul wanted the church to understand. You don't have to quit your jobs and be lazy in life because you're waiting for the sun to return. But through your work, God is pleased through our work. Even Paul himself, although he was busy doing the work of the ministry and busy doing missionary journeys for Jesus, but even Paul was a tent maker. He had his own job. He was busy at work. And he was able to provide for himself. So we see that example of God calling us not just to demarcate between spiritual work and secular work, but to see that all work, whether it's secular or spiritual, that we can be pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. But here's my final point before we close. If we're going to find joy in Monday mornings, I love this, we've got to also recognize that payday is great, but peace is priceless. Look what Paul says here in the closing prayer. He says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace, here it is, at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. You see, sometimes in life, our sole priority with our work is simply just to earn money. And I get that. To go after the paycheck. And don't get me wrong, money is necessary, it's needed, so that we can take care of our families and take care of our needs. Money is important. But sometimes there's people who are happy with the money that they receive each month in the bank account, but they have no peace of mind. There are people who earn great money in this life, but they are still part of the percentage that say, I'm not happy with my work. My bank account is nice, but I don't have any peace in my mind. My bank account is nice, but there's trouble in my mind. I like the income, but still my income, although it gives me some liberty in life, I still feel that there is a void that money just can't seem to fill. What is it? What is missing? Many people in this life, they have great jobs, great careers, lovely family, nice car to drive, lovely house to live in, but yet still, they don't have peace. They're still struggling to find that sense of peace and joy in life. So what happens? They squander the money. They go looking for some sense of appeasement to fulfill and satisfy the soul. But nothing in this life that money can buy can satisfy that soul and that yearning that one is looking for. But in the words of the old hymn writer, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. David Cassidy, I know David knows that one. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And I want to encourage anyone here today, yes, money is important. Yes, the paycheck is necessary, but no paycheck could ever replace the peace that God gives to us through Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes, we need money, but more importantly than money, we need Christ. We need the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Especially in the world we live in today, where there's so much chaos, where there's so much challenge, there's so much turmoil, and also so much that we have to deal with at work. We need God's peace. We need his joy. We need his love. So I'm praying this morning for all of us who are working, and even for those of us who are retired. I know there's some retired people in this house, but there's some busy retired people who are still busy at work, looking after grandchildren, doing wonderful work for the Lord in his church, serving in many different ways. Because although we don't have to go to work Monday through Friday anymore, it's still important to keep a diary that's engaged.
That's right.
So that we have something to focus on. Amen.
Amen.
So we need that peace. We need that peace that will keep us from going off on our co-workers. We need that peace to help us to deal with conflict on the job. We need that peace that gives us understanding, gives us grace to be graceful to others in the workplace. They may upset you. They may say things that are cruel. But when God gives us his peace, he will help us to navigate through those difficult circumstances so that we can be the light and we can represent the S-O-N at work. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to close today. And the worship team are coming back. But I want to encourage anyone here today. Maybe you're struggling at work. Maybe you're not enjoying your work. Maybe you're like one of those in the statistics who's saying, Nathan, I have to go to work because I need the money, but I'm struggling to find that satisfaction. I want to encourage you again through Paul's letter to find joy, even if it's just one thing that you can be thankful for. And as we've been singing today, God has given us the ability to change the atmosphere, even at work, as we represent and reflect the Son. But also, I want to also encourage someone, work is important, but there's also another priority that we're not going to mention. This is the final sermon, but it's also important. And that's also the priority of leisure, having fun, taking time out for yourself. Maybe there's someone here today, you work, 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 your fingers to the bone, and you're a bit of a workaholic. Remember, God rested on the seventh day. Rest is also a part and important to God for us. And maybe God is saying that maybe it's time you need to take your annual leave. You need to take a day off. You need to spend some time with your family and your loved ones. I was speaking to one of our members last week. He encouraged me. He said, you know, he didn't want to know about ministry or anything that I'm doing. He said, well, are you taking day off for yourself? What are you doing for enjoyment? What are you doing to have fun? That's important too. That's an important priority. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that you will have it more abundantly. He doesn't want us to be miserable all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we pray that like the church in the Macedonian region of Greece, that Father, we would not become busybodies and just lazy and lethargic and complacent. That Father, we would eradicate, Lord, gossip and idle talk from our lips so that we can, Lord, be fruitful in ministry and in the work that you have assigned into our hands. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our jobs. We thank you that you have given us jobs so that we can provide for our families and provide resources, Lord, for our loved ones. But we thank you, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, that ability so that we can not just endure our work, but yes, too, that we can find some sense of joy in our work. And we pray that, Lord, for everyone here today, anyone who's struggling at work, I pray for peace. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage and bless each and every situation now. There may be difficulty. There may be something going on in the workplace that's difficult. But I pray, Lord, that you would just be that peace, as Paul prayed, peace in every circumstance and in every situation. So continue, Lord, to bless us, Lord, so that we can be fruitful at work, so that we can represent and reflect the S-O-N everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. This last song. This last song really, really speaks to that. Really speaks to reflecting Jesus, reflecting Him in our lives. It says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And it goes through everything: my moments, my voice, my feet, my lips. It goes through so many things. Just giving it all to God. Let's stand and sing. Just going to close with benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Thank you very much, church. Please join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. Joy of the Lord. Again, joy of the Lord.
Thank you.
strength.